Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Acts chapter number 9, when you found your place in the Bible, I want you to stand and look at verse number 6. Acts chapter number 9 and verse number 6. The Bible says, "And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we love you this morning. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for the privilege to be in church. Thank you for each one of these young people that have gathered again this morning. Thank you, God, for the sweet stirring of the Spirit of God in our hearts. Thank you, God, for every song, the sensitivity, God, Lord, of the hearts of the people this morning. And I pray, God, that you would continue that now. Don't let me say or do anything that would grieve or quench you. And I pray, God, that you would continue to work in the hearts of your people and these young people, God, in this time. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you so much for standing. You may be seated this morning. Now, we understand what's taking place in this passage of Scripture, but to give you a little context, Saul is, if you will, accepting the Lord as his Savior in a very dramatic way. And there's a light that shines down out of heaven. And old Saul gets saved. God changes his name to Paul. And there's a question that he asks here in verse number 6. That I want to talk to you about for just a few moments, and I'll be finished this morning. I want to talk to you about this thought, the question that changes everything. The question that changes everything. We've already heard it testified this morning that we could have had a very different story. There's no reason I should be standing here this morning outside of the grace of God. I'm saved and I'm standing here because of the grace of God. You look back at my family history. There's no reason why David Williams should be standing here preaching this morning. I had a granddaddy that run moonshine. I had a daddy. I didn't know this part of him because God saved him, but I had a daddy that was a drunk and a daddy that had to go into the military to avoid going to prison. And he didn't know anything about God. He'd never been to church. He didn't know anything about the things of the Lord. And I never knew that about my daddy. All I knew about my daddy was that one day he got saved. And that's all I knew. And his life was transformed. And I grew up in a place just like this, and we could have had a very different story outside of the grace of God. But once you get saved by the grace of God, there is a question that changes everything for your life. That's this question right here. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And as young people, I know there's a lot of questions that you have. There's a lot of questions that you ask. You'll ask things like, what college should I attend? Where am I going to go to college at? How many of you are in your senior year of high school? You're fixing to go to college. Y'all don't go to college down here. Hey, listen, there's time. I'm 35 and I just started college, all right? There's time, there's still time. But you ask those questions, what career path should I pursue? Or who will I marry? That's a big one, ain't it? Who am I going to marry? It's a big question that you have. What is my purpose? Why am I here? Can I say to you this morning that none of those questions matter until you have first asked the question that is found in Acts chapter number 9. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Pursuing the will of God for your life and pursuing what God wants you to do first. And all of these things will be added unto you if you'll just do what he asks you to do. This is not a question of curious inquiry. It is complete surrender from the heart of this man by the name of Saul. It's not a question of information, but yet it is a confession, if you will, of a submission. When Saul asked this question, it became the dividing line between who he was and who he could be if he just did what God asked him to do. Can I say to you that the question that's going to change the trajectory of your life as a believer, it lies within that. God, what do you want me to do? What is it that you want me to do? And can I just say to you, this is a disruptive inquiry. He's trembling and astonished. The Bible says this is not a laughing matter. This is not a casual matter. This is a serious matter. God, what do you want me to do? It's a differential inquiry, he says, Lord. It's a directed inquiry. What wilt thou have me to do? He doesn't ask what is permissible, but what is prescribed. He doesn't ask the Lord, what is it that you would permit, or what is it that I would permit, but God, what is it that you would prescribe for me? And whatever that is, that's exactly what I want to do. It's a dynamic inquiry. Arise and go. Now, I thought about this. See, God doesn't give us a map, but he gives us a mandate. That's what God gives. He don't give us a map. Now, I enjoy, I thank God I am challenged in the area of directions. You ask my wife. If I am in charge of the directions, we will pass the same road 14 times and I'll swear up and down we hadn't been through there before. She does all the navigation, every bit of it. But I love it. I got to have like 14 different things to tell me when to turn. My watch will be vibrating. The Apple CarPlay will be instructing me. And my wife will be telling me. And I'll still sometimes she'll say, whoa, you're about to miss a turn. Now, I love a map, though it's great. I can see where the next turn's coming. It tells me exactly where the next intersection that I need to pay attention to is. But see, that's not how the will of God for your life works. See, young people, you got to understand, you don't get to look at the Apple CarPlay and see where the next turn in the road is coming. It's not a map, if you will, but it is a mandate. Direction comes not by planning, but by proceeding. I'm all about planning, and planning is wonderful, but the will of God is not about you making plans and understanding where the next turn is, but it's just about you proceeding one foot in front of the other. God, what you want me to do? And I'll do it. You just show me, and I'll head that direction. That's what it's all about. I thought about this man by the name of Saul in this text. I thought about a few things Saul never knew in verse number 6 of chapter number 9. You see, he never knew that he would write most of the New Testament. When he told the Lord, God, what is it you want me to do? He didn't say, I want you to write most of the New Testament. That's what I want you to do. And that's the direction of your life. And that's where I want you to go. No, that's not what he said. All he said is you need to arise and go. Oh, but wait a minute, Paul, you're going to be one of the greatest of the great. No, that's not what he knew in this moment. He didn't know that he was going to write most of the New Testament. He didn't know he would be the apostle to the Gentiles. He didn't know that he would suffer deeply for Christ. He didn't know there would be shipwrecks and beatings and stonings and imprisonment and hunger and nakedness and perils. He didn't know there would be false brethren that would come against him. But he also understood that there was something greater for his life, and all he said was, God, what do you want me to do? And in that moment, the Lord just spoke to him and said, arise and go. Arise and go. He didn't know he would stand before kings. He didn't know he would be the one to bear the name of the Lord Jesus before kings. He didn't know that he would leave this world with no earthly possessions and he wouldn't have anything. And his life was set up very well that he could have moved forward outside of this question and been probably a very wealthy man. He didn't know that was the course that would take in this moment. And can I say, you do not know right now, young people, where your life may take you when you ask God this question. But can I say to you, it's the only way to find true peace and joy and happiness. And Paul didn't know all of those things. He didn't know what God was going to use him to do. He didn't understand everything that was in front of him. But he understood one thing, and that was God is Lord. And whatever he wants me to do, that's what I'm going to do. And I could have a very different story, but I'm just going to ask God, what is it you want? And if it's arise and go, I'll arise and go. If it's write the New Testament, I'll write the New Testament. If it's imprisonment and in perils, I'll enjoy every minute of it for the cause of Christ. Oh, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And so there's a few things about this question I'll give you, and I'll be done this morning. First, I want you to understand, young people, and this is very, very important, talking about the will of God. There are some pitfalls that paralyze this question. There's some pitfalls that paralyze this question. And I want to help you with a few of those this morning. I've already talked about the map myth, is what I call it, as it relates to the will of God. God will give me a detailed 10-year plan. How many of you think about the will of God that way? Well, I want to do God's will, and so surely God is going to give me a step-by-step plan of where the trajectory of my life will take me in 10 years. But that's not the case. That is a myth. Faith doesn't demand the map. It just follows the master. Oh, faith, it doesn't say, give me the road map. It just says, Lord, wherever you lead me, I will follow. But then there's the misery myth in this pitfall that paralyzes this question. If I follow God, I'll be miserable. There's the misery myth of this question. God's will suppresses enjoyment and it stifles personal ambition. But can I say this to you? That true joy is found in sacred submission, not selfish sovereignty. Can I say to you this morning that this is a myth? Serving God is wonderful. It is wonderful. There's the misery myth. I think about me and my wife when we, several years ago now, time flies, don't it, y'all? Time just absolutely flies. I remember I had the job I always wanted. Loved every minute of it. Had a ball. And let me just say this to you about God's will. Well, I believe this with all my heart, young people. One of the greatest enemies of God's will in your life is success outside of God's will. Does that make sense to you? One of the greatest enemies to the will of God is success outside of the will of God. And what I mean by that is everything's going good for you. You're making money. You're enjoying life. Things are great, but you're not where God wants you to be. And because everything's going good, you think it's okay. That's one of the greatest enemies of the will of God in your life. But I enjoyed my career. I had it all figured out. I had it mapped out. I had it when I was going to retire, and I even went as far as to say, one of the biggest things I'm excited about in retirement is that when I retire, I'm going to go full-time in the ministry. I said that. I had it figured out, Brother Donathan. Had it all mapped out. God dealt with my heart. That course changed because of this question that changes everything. Lord, what will thou have me to do? And we went to pastor our first church, and let me tell you something. It was less than what I thought it should be. Fact is, it was a mess, just to be honest with you. Fact is, you talk to my wife this morning, and she will tell you it was the hardest time of our life, period. Period. To date. Just a few weeks ago, we were driving down the road, weren't we? We were in our cool van that we prayed for 2 years for. We're driving down the road and we're headed to preach somewhere. And the song's playing on the radio about the faithfulness of God. And I look over there and there's a little tear, Brother Jeremy, running down her face. And I looked at her and I got all choked up. And I said, this is what we wanted. And God's give it to us. But it wasn't outside of being faithful in the hard times. It doesn't matter whether you're faithful in the good times or not. Anybody can be faithful in the good times. Now, some of you even struggle in the good times. I have too. But that's not where it matters. Where it matters is when you're faithful, when things aren't like you wanted. When things are awful and you're doing what God asked you to do and it doesn't seem right. But you're just faithful. That's where it matters. And you'll go day in, day out, day in, day out, and you'll look back over time and realize, boy, if I'd had the map, I wouldn't have turned this way. I sure am glad I was just following the Master. Because it's great now, but I wouldn't have took that road back there if it had been up to me. There's the map myth. There's the misery myth about this question. There's the missionary myth about this question. Well, if I answer this question, God is going to want me to be a preacher or a missionary. That's a myth about this question, ain't it? I hate to break it to you, boys, but everybody in here can't be a preacher. Ladies, every one of you can't be a preacher's wife. Now, some of you should be, and some of you will be, but the reality is that is a myth. When you say, God, whatever it is you want me to do, I'll do it. There ain't no telling what it's going to be. There ain't no telling where that question will take you. Well, then there's the miracle myth, I call it. I need a sign. I need a sign to know which way I need to go for the Lord. God must validate His voice with supernatural spectacle. But the Bible teaches us this, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. What's that mean, preacher? You better stay in line with this Bible. If you start doing what you think is God's will based on what you dreamed last night, it's going to change every time you have Domino's pizza. Amen. You better do what God's asked you to do based on the Word of God. Sign-seeking sidesteps scriptural bases, and it short-circuits your faith. The written word of God must precede the wondrous works. The written, if you ask God this question with the myth of some mysterious thing coming from it, then you'll get messed up in some weird stuff. This Bible is where you find what God wants for you. Then there's the missed it myth. I've missed it, Brother Donathan. It's too late. I have missed the will of God. Can I just give you a news flash this morning? We all have. At some juncture, we have all missed the will of God. You say, preacher, have you missed the will of God? Many times. You say, preacher, well, I missed the will of God? Many times. The missed it myth tries to tell you that you've ruined God's plan for your life, and that's not true. You may have missed God's will and missed God's will and missed God's will, but I'm glad when we're talking about a faithful God, we can't mess up the plan. You can't mess it up. If you'll just get in line and say, God, I missed it here, but if you'll give me direction, I'll go there. God will fix it for you. He'll fix it for you. You may be able to take a crayon and color all outside the lines, but God can fix it for you. You can't mess up His plan. Boy, I'm glad because I would. There's the missed it myth, and there's the misery myth, a mystery myth. God's will is a riddle that I must solve. The mystery myth. God's will is cryptic, and it's a maze that I got to decode. Any of you young people, now be honest with me this morning. Have you thought about God's will in that light before? I know you have. I have, if you've been honest. Oh, it's something I got to decode. It's a mystery. I got to figure it all out. The obsession with obscure orchestration. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him. There is a lot of secrets, but if you just fear Him, they're not hid from you. God's will isn't discovered through decoding. It's revealed through devotion. You just devote yourself to Him. Young people, you just devote yourself to Him, and it'll be revealed to you. There's the perils that paralyze this question, but then I would say there's the posture that prepares this question. There is a predetermined compliance, willingness. You've got to be willing. There is a personal humility. That's meekness that is required. There is a private stillness that you need in your life. That's openness. I would even say creating a quiet space for you to hear God's whisper. These older men of God, and when I say older, I'm talking about spiritually, not in age. But they could testify to you the importance of stillness away from the noise if you want to hear the voice of God. And let me tell you something. What a time we are living in to try to find that place. You young people, I know how hard it is for me. Can I just be honest this morning? I know how hard it is for me to try to go 10, 15 minutes without grabbing my phone out of habit. How in the world do I need to, what in the world do I need to do to find stillness in the moment? What do I got to do in this world of craziness? I've used this illustration. I think I've used it here before, but I believe it's timely again this morning. I need me some volunteers. Who wants to volunteer? Can you be the Lord? All right, you come and be the Lord. Now I need somebody that's struggling with God's will. Come on. And so here's what we're going to do. Brother, you're struggling with God's will. I want you to just sit right here beside this little bouquet of flowers, and then you're going to be the Lord. I want you to go sit in that chair right over there. So you go sit over there. And here's what I want you to do in a still small voice. What I want you to do, brother, is I want you to ask our brother that's struggling with the will of God. I want you to ask him, sit in that one right there. That's a better one. I want you to ask him in a still small voice something, doesn't matter what it is, that you want him to do. All right, now I need your participation this morning. I want you all to get real loud and noisy. And then when you do that, that's when you're going to ask the question, okay? Go ahead, everybody get real loud and noisy. Go ahead, come on, come on, come on, come on. All right. Did you ask him? He asked him. Now, what is the will of God for your life? Do you have any idea? You didn't hear it. Why didn't you hear it? There's a bunch of noise? Well, see, the reality is that's how we think. We think we didn't hear God because of the noise. But the truth is, the noise is always going to be there. Come on, walk with me. Walk with me. Come on over here. Come on over here. Get in this chair right here. Get in that chair right there. Now, you won't do God's will because you don't know what God's will is, and now you've gotten close to the Lord. Go ahead and give me some noise this morning. He's going to ask him. Come on. Come on, give me some noise. Come on. Come on. That's good. That's good. Do you know what the will of God is now? Told you to stand up. You didn't have no problem understanding, no problem hearing. Thank you, man. Thank you. See, young people, if you spend your life trying to get rid of the noise so you can hear God, you're never going to hear God. What you've got to do is get rid of the distance between you and Him. And if you can get close to God, it won't matter what the world is hurling your direction. It won't matter the mess that the world is screaming in your ear. If you're close to God, you'll know what He wants for your life. But here's what we do. We try to work on the noise more than we try to work on the distance. And so we spin our wheels and we spin our wheels. And I get this noise quieting down over here. When I get this fixed right over here, Then I got to get over here and figure out what God, oh, here's another noise. I got to get this fixed over here. Now I'm going to go over here and try to figure out what God. You got to quit worrying about that and focus on the distance between you and Jesus. And you'll be able to hear him just fine. You say, preacher, I don't know that I can hear the Lord very good this morning. There's only one answer. You're too far away. It's not what's going on around you. It's not what's going on in the youth group. It's not what's going on in the schoolhouse. It's not what's going on your phone. It's not what's going on Facebook and Instagram and TikTok and Snapchat and how many things do we need to talk to each other on? I mean, my goodness, how many different things do you need to send a picture of yourself to somebody else? You got like 10 apps. You can do a video on one and a face on the other and this and that. Hey, listen, all of that mess, nothing but distractions. But that's not what you need to try to fix. What you need to try to fix is getting close to Jesus. There is the perils that paralyze this question. There's the posture that prepares us for this question. But I'll say this and I'm done this morning. There's the peace that prevails from this question. You young people, listen. You ask any adult what one of the greatest things in life is. It's not how big your house is. It's not how nice your car is. It's not how popular you are. It's not how well you're thought of. You ask an adult that's lived any length of time, and they'll tell you one of the greatest things in life that you can have and obtain, it's peace. It's peace. You can sit in a shack on the side of the road without anything to your name and have the peace of God in your heart, and you'd be absolutely satisfied, and none of the rest of it will matter. Old Paul here, he didn't know when he asked that question. He didn't know all the things about the peace of God. But you go look at the life of Paul, you'll understand. You'll understand that he had peace in his identity. By the grace of God, I am what I am, is what he said. He had peace and weakness. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. He had peace in weakness. He had peace in the storm. Be of good cheer, for I believe that it shall be even as it was told me. What was old Paul saying? I've got peace in the storm. Other storms tearing the boat apart. Other storm is destroying everything around us that brings security. But I've got peace. He had peace and purpose. None of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. He had peace and purpose. Mason, my life ain't even dear unto me, son. I'm so excited about what God's doing. It don't matter what anybody else does. I got peace in my purpose. He had peace in suffering. He said, I take pleasure in infirmities for Christ's sake. He had peace in prison. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises. You say, preacher, it seems like he's got peace everywhere. He does, and it's because of the question that changed everything, and that was, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He had peace in the face of death. He had peace in spiritual warfare, and he had peace at the finish line. I'd say this to you. You all know this very well. But we're taught in Romans 12, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There's a benevolent design in that verse. It's good. It's for your benefit. God's will is not restrictive. God's will is not something that's going to ruin your life. It's good. But then there is beauty, or a beautiful delight. It is acceptable.
it's pleasing to God. So it's good for you, and it pleases God. But then, it's blameless in its destination. It's perfect. It's complete. And it's without flaw. Every single one of you this morning are full of flaws. How many of you have a boyfriend or girlfriend? Raise your hand. Brother Jonathan, yes? Newsflash, they have flaws. You have flaws. The only thing about your life that can be flawless is the will of God that He has for you. And it all changes with what wilt thou do?